Well, it's good to be here this morning. Seen a lot of things happening. There's a lot of action here in the Shadow Church. We spent the day yesterday here with you guys, and I was blessed. I just want to say, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I was really blessed how things were organized and how you worked together. The world can see that, and it's let your light shine. You know, it's a real challenge, you know, to do these kind of things. And I know when our children were small, Martha and I used to do the same thing. I tell you, there's a lot of hard work, and so along with that, my message today is on love. And I've been thinking about this probably 3-4 weeks ago, and it's probably from my own life. So I want to share that. I really couldn't get away from it. Saturday or Friday, I think it was, that I was trying to find something else, and everything come back to this, what I want to share this morning. And it's a true love. It's a love that we receive from God after we're born again. And that's what I want to challenge all of you to continue to grow in that. And I want to. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And I hope you can see the same thing. That special love that comes from Christ. And I appreciate everything that happened this morning, the prayer. And Sunday school hour, that was the teacher. You guys did a good job. I am the vine and you're the branches. So I was blessed in every part of the service. And I do love to come here, not only to preach, but see you folks. And I have to think of Alvin, they're leaving. And first time we come here, Jolene was here in the Bible school, and she kind of had her eye on Tommy, or Tommy had his eye on her. I'm not sure which is which, but we heard a little bit about it before we come down on the Bible school. And I remember Mitchell, and he was just a little fella. And today he's a grown man. He's got family. Time goes on. Yep, I thought about that when you were up front here, so. Time does not stop. It just keeps going. And you see the little ones coming up, taking over. So let's love while we have a chance. Before God moves us out of here. Another thing I want to share a little bit is he's got family here with Brother Ray. I know you've, especially the family, misses him. I know you do. We know where he's at. There's no doubt. But we miss him in Fairplay Church. He was a true giant. He was not ashamed. Brother Merritt mentioned this morning about not being ashamed of the gospel. He was not. If he had something to say, he got up and said it. And it was encouraging. He was bold. He was a big, bold man. We call him our big brother. So we learn from each other how we go through life. We learn from each other's testimonies. Okay, I'll get to the message this morning. And before I start, I heard a saying here, it's a quote, that I describe it as love. The Sea of Galilee, Tommy, Jolene, did you see it when you were there? Did you see the Sea of Galilee? Someone said, I never saw it. But it said that there is water coming in and there's water going out of it. There's like a lake of water, big body of water coming in and one going out. I have no idea what it looks like, never seen a picture, but I just love that illustration. It talks about, when we think about that, the Sea of Galilee, the one guy described that he said that the water is cool and it is sweet in the middle. You take a look at yourself. Let's look at ourselves for a little bit. In our hearts, that water is flowing in and it's flowing out. You done that yesterday. in your hard work. That's the way the love of God works in a human being. Perfect example is the Sea of Galilee. Now, there's another one. There's a Dead Sea. There's no water going out of it. I quote, there's water coming in, but there's no water going out. And they called it the Dead Sea. And nothing can live in the Dead Sea. Why do you think Jesus said, I am the living water? Think about it. That love that Christ has, called the agape love, that flows through the human body, through your heart and soul and mind, is that love. We're not born with it. I believe once we're born again, we make that commitment to Christ. We invite Him into our heart. I believe it begins a flow. And I also believe that you can grow in it. But if you don't share it, it will die. It will become a Dead Sea. That's what I understand about this love. Now I want to read some scripture this morning. I'll try to hurry through here, but if anyone has to leave if the chicken's burning or something, I won't be offended at all. Okay, verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, charity suffereth long. Think about this. We're not born with this love, this charity. Suffereth long and is kind. People respond to kindness. It envieth not. It's not jealous. It tries to take things away from other people and maybe covet someone else's gift or talents. Be who God made you to be and love what God has done for you. And vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. It don't boast about things that they're doing. It vaunteth not itself. It's not blowed up. It's not puffing up and bragging on themselves. It do not behave itself unseemingly, and seeketh not her own. Not easily provoked. Think about this one. This love that flows through us from Christ thinketh no evil. One place the Bible says that we should not speak evil of no man. I think a lot of times what happened in the last year, what Joel mentioned this morning about the virus going around, sometimes maybe it's hard for the Christians not to speak evil of some things that politics and different things. But it's still wrong. That's one thing, Brother Joel, that has not changed. I had to think about that. The love of Christ is as strong today and it was a year ago. It never has changed. That virus did not weaken it. It's still powerful. Let it flow. Let it flow through you. There's much more in that chapter, but I need to move on here to hit some more of the verses that I jotted down on love. John 13:34, St. John. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. See, that's the agape love that he's talking about. And if anyone understands that, it should be the church. It should be the family first, then the church. We learn a lot of these things with our children, husband and wife relationship. The agape love is relational love. And it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now if you go on down, it says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is how the world knows, is how you love other people. This is how the world understands that. The world does not know what this love is. And that's not talking, that's talking about people that are not converted. That's who the world is. A lot of times, you know, we grew up, the way we, a lot of us were raised up, we thought, our background, we're not part of the world. Oh, yes, we are. We are a world until we're born again. I know a lot of people disagree with that. If you're born in the Amish or the Mennonite background, they think the world are the people that drive cars. That's the way I was raised. You need a heart change. You need to get that love flowing and you understand what God is talking about. Simon Peter was that way. Here in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered. Let's start over in verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, and he says, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. What do you think he was talking about? And I think what I thought about this when I was thinking about the love of Christ, Peter said unto him, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. This is the love that we can have for each other, maybe after we're born. This is not the agape love that Peter had at this time. He loved Jesus. He loved to be with him. But look what Christ came back. He knows who we are. He knows how much we love. He knows what we practice each day. He knows if that love comes into our heart and it just stays there and dies out. He also knows if we share it with others and let it flow. In verse 38, Jesus said, wilt thou lay down my life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou deny me three times. Mark, it says that, in the book of Mark, it says that when Peter was questioned, when he was following Christ in a distance after he was arrested, someone asked him, he was there by the fire warming himself. Somebody asked him, he says, you're one of his disciples. You're one of his. And it says that after the third time, he said he cussed and he swore. He says, I don't know this man. That is a friend that only likes what he sees. That is a friend that only receives, that only gives back what he receives. You invite someone that invites you back. I like what I get out of your life. I like to be with you because there's benefits coming from that. That's what Peter was saying here. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. But when he realized, later on he wept because of what he had done. Take advantage. He didn't want to lose Christ. He even said, I'd lay down my life. But Jesus knew the heart of Peter. That's not the agape love that Peter had for Jesus. Later on, then, after he was converted, it says that he was crucified upside down. He was not worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. I go back to 1 John, a couple of verses there. There's a lot of good verses here about love. The Bible's so full of it. You notice how many, when they were singing this morning, when the praise group was up here, team was up there singing. I noticed a word every time that love showed up, the word love. It was here. Did you know God is love? That's his name. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse, it says faith and hope and charity. But the greatest of these three is love, is charity. Why is that? This is what I think. When we die, or Jesus comes back, whichever comes first. Either way, we have to die. Because flesh and blood will not go to heaven. Faith will end. We don't need faith. We now see who we served. We're not home. That we don't need faith. We don't need hope. Because we are where we hope for, in the hands of Jesus. But the love will continue on. It will continue on. That's why there's no end to love. That's God. That's His name. Love. Therefore, practice that love. Let's do that. Let it flow. That First John chapter 2, verse 7. Write, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word of God. It's the word which ye have heard from the beginning. What's he talking about? He said, I will not write a new one on that. Because I think this verse is talking about where John was talking about. He was talking about the commandment, the Ten Commandments, like you shouldn't have any other gods before you. I haven't read that for a while, but the first four normally are from God to us. Then the last six are like from us to our brethren, our life. And here, look what he says in verse 8. It says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and a true light now shineth. That's talking about Christ. He that saith he is the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I don't think, folks, that we probably teach this enough in our homes, how powerful this love is. We may talk more about the bad things that are happening around us, negative things that are going to pass. But this love that he's talking about is so powerful. And if you go in John 3:11, John chapter 3, verse 11, it says, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, and that we should love one another. Then it says, not like Cain that slew his brother. He was that wicked one. The reason he slew him, it says, because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Think about that. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. This is the agape love that we practice. Now, there are going to be problems coming, absolutely. They happen in our homes, they happen in our churches. But you need to rise above the problem. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Next one is Ephesians 5. I want to look at that a little bit. That kind of leads towards our home life. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. You know, I think probably many of us would agree the first when we first met our wives, we probably did not have that agape love. We had love for each other, but it was not that deep love, that agape love. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but we probably didn't have that. Some of us might have, but not everybody. Verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This agape love is relationship. It's the highest form of love that can ever be. It is the relationship with each other, starting in our home. Because a lot of times the churches operate out of the love that is brought from their homes. If you fight and argue and never agree, not kind to each other, you bring that to church, and the church is known by your home life. I don't know if you like that kind of preacher or not, but it's the truth. It's the way it is. You cannot pretend playing church long term. Love has to flow in your home. You're only in church a couple hours this morning, but all week at home. Think about that. And it says, why does it say? It doesn't say preachers that you should love the church. You should tell them the truth. The truth shall set you free. That's our requirement for being a preacher. You take that around now, dads, and you say, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and died for it. Relational. Sacrificial love. Lay down your life, like we heard in Sunday school this morning, for each other. No greater love than that. A church that will grow, a church that people love to go to, where there's fun to go to, a church, there is love at home. You mark it down. It's the way it works. It's practiced at home. It comes into the church and it will work. Jesus took the family life and he talks about love. Why? Because that he might sanctify, cleanse it, set apart with the washing of the Word of God, the water by the Word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He put the responsibility on his husbands, and he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know, I've wondered many times already, you don't read that a woman is to love her husband. If you do, you don't very often. It's usually the man is to love his wife. And the man is to leave home and cleave to his wife. Leave his parents and cleave to his wife. I've already wondered about that, but we're different makeup. Completely different. The love that a mother has for a child. Even the Bible talks about that in the Old Testament. It says, can a mother leave her sucking child? That means an arm baby, like the little one this morning that was up here. Can a mama leave that child? It's almost like it's impossible for that mother to leave a child. But it says they can. But that was printed. That always blessed me. It's so powerful. That love from a mother to their baby. I wondered already, we're made different. Men, that's what we need. We need to practice that because they already have that gift of love for their children. Do you think you'll die? No. We're almost married 50 years, and the love that my wife has for her children, I don't think it got any weaker. I think it got stronger. It's just the way it works. It's that love that God gave a mama, a lady. And the next generation, it's different, but there's still love there. But husbands, we are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's a lot more here that I could talk about, but the last verse here, last two verses in Ephesians 5, it says, this is a great mystery. It's like a hidden truth. It's almost like a, how do you explain it? Here's a man that was not married. God wanted him to write this. And he wanted us to get it, what he's talking about. The home life brings to the church. Jesus calls it his bride. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Again, he said that as himself. Here's to the wife. See that she reverence her husband. And you know the seriousness of it, Christians, this morning. In Peter, it says that we should not be bitter. We should not be bitter against our wives. That our prayers are not hindered. I mean, the Christian life is powerful. We believe it and we need to follow it. And it will show up. It will show up in our families and it will show up in our churches. I truly believe that with the bottom of my heart. Any amens on that? Amen? Very good. Just a couple thoughts here that I wrote down. The agape love relationship in our homes. Listen to each other. You think I have all this, attained all this? I don't. I'm still working on it. Martha and I are different. We have different gifts. We're completely different in a lot of ways. But we agree to disagree. And I think it's been good. I'll let her tell you what she thinks. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Respect our differences. You know, in your family, respect your differences. Ask his or her opinion. And I think that's something that we've always done. I didn't always like what I heard back, what her idea was, but it was good. And, you know, when she wants to do something, that she always talks about it most of the time. And I don't always agree with her, but we always come together. I hope that helps you guys. I think it's a good marriage. But it's, you sit there looking at me like you don't have that problem. You don't even know what I'm talking about. But I know better than that. We're all human. Be honest with your problems. You have problems, be honest with them. Big thing is pray for each other. Pray for each other. Love each other enough that you can pray for each other, realizing where the love comes from. It comes from the throne of grace. Don't grumble behind their back. That goes both ways. And I can grow in that. When I don't get in my way, sometimes I have talked to the children about it a little bit. And, that is not good. You shouldn't do that. And children picked that up. They know who you are. They know you better than yourself. You do yourself because they were raised with you. I always said me and my boys, we grew up together. Well, they got bigger than me, but anyhow, the highest form of love is the agape love. That's the love of God. It will never fail. Sea of Galilee has water coming in and going out, and it stays fresh in the middle because that's a flow. You want that love in your heart. Let King Jesus flow, His Holy Ghost and fire through your heart, and let it go out and bless those around you. Don't be a Dead Sea. I don't want to be. I want to be like the Sea of Galilee. Be alive. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your great love. The example that you left for us. In ourselves, Lord, we are selfish. We're proud. We think evil. Fix our heart, Lord. Lord, I ask that you'd help me be the first fruits, what I shared this morning. I pray your highest blessing on the church here, Lord. Young children, older people, bless them, I pray. Keep them safe. Lord, our friend and brother this morning, Leo, Lord, we just thank you for him. There's an emptiness in his heart. His wife, I pray that you'd fill that. That he might be able to see the good in life and people. Drive that anger and bitterness from him, I pray. Lord Jesus, take over in his life because we love him and you love him. Lord, go with us today, and especially be with Elvins as they traveled in their mission work. Help them enjoy what they do. I believe they do, Lord. And many souls will come to know you through their ministry, Lord. Just bless them, I pray, and their families. And the little grandchildren, Lord, just watch over them. Bless them good, I pray. Pray for the one that's nearest to hell this morning, and pray that you touch that person, Lord, and give them another chance. We just want to thank you for a good day yesterday here. May you receive the honor and glory. You were seen in many ways yesterday, Lord Jesus. Just pray that you receive all the glory and honor for this day and for the people here. We owe it all to you. You're worthy. You've made us to bring glory to yourself. And again, I pray against fear and doubt that you are real. We know it. Satan thinks you're not. He knows you are. But he tries to tell the world that. I pray against that bitterness and doubt, especially in the churches, which our government don't know you is the type of the world. Lord, I pray for them that their eyes would be open. Thank you for our freedom. Again, we thank you most of all for calling us from the world of sin into a marvelous light. We give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.